Guys, welcome back to the Perpetua podcast. I'm joined today by Mr. Rob Sweeney, affectionately known as Chops. Rob, how's it going, man?
Yeah, great, man. Great. Really, really good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm delighted to have you on here. Chops, tell the people a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
So I suppose I'm a full-time coach. I have a company called Leverage Fitness, an online coaching platform. And from there, then I coach with the Irish Women's Rugby Team. Nice. So they're two varied roles, but it's effectively all I do is full-time coaching, whether it's with health and fitness or rugby.
Savage. And give us a little bit about your history then. We were kind of talking off the camera, like, you have a history that I didn't know. I just kind of knew you from your Instagram, like where you played rugby and you got into coaching, but there's a bit more to it than that. There's a Perpetua link there.
Yeah. So myself and my old business partner started in what was CrossFit Dublin, which is now Perpetua, back in, I think, I'm going to say 2010, 2011, probably, yeah. 2011. And yeah, we started working with Michael and Albert and Dave. Albert since set up on his own. I was working in Perpetua on Lime Street. Al was working out in Black Rock. And myself and Al, our goal was always to open our own gym. But I think we did the guts of a year, so maybe a year and a half with Perpetua. The gym on Lime Street, man, it was incredible. It was just
I hear stories about that place, man. Everyone still talks about that place.
Genuinely, it was the slickest gym. It was just cool, like really, yeah. Really cool. At the time as well, like, it was class. Training in there, training with some of the clients in there and stuff. So, it was really, like, what a place for us to learn as well, because, like,
yeah,
it was one of the first week CrossFit in Ireland, and that's kind of, our goal was to open one over where we lived. And it was a great learning experience. Really, really cool.
Savage. And what about your rugby background? Like, you've played to a pretty big level in that as well, haven't you?
I did okay. I definitely, like, my career was good, you know what I mean? Like, I was probably a very good amateur player and not a great pro player. I played with Connacht, played with Leinster, played over in England with Rotherham Titans. My strongest spell was when I was in Connacht. I played, like, had some great games, played against, like, John Hayes, Getting Jenkins, Adam Jones, like, Lions, wow. Props. But yeah, like, it was brilliant. And rugby's been the only real constant, I suppose, I've always had in my life. Like, I started playing rugby when I was 4 or 5, and I suppose now 37, I'm still involved in it, you know. I think it's probably the one thing I will always be involved in for all my life, you know.
Savage, man. And I suppose you've learned some lessons in your time playing rugby then, and then transitioning into coaching. Like, where did you decide, or why did you decide to go from, I'm not going to be top level pro, but I want to coach? Like, where was that decision made?
So it was at the end of my, coming towards the end of my spell in Connacht, I'd offers to go to, like, you know, kind of wind down the career playing in Italy, had an offer from Spain, France as well. And the way I looked at it was, you're just kind of postponing. You're literally just doing it just for free, just to have an easy, like, you go over, you get, like, your expenses paid, your accommodation paid, whatever. It would have been a nice life, and it would have been a bit of fun. It would have been great rugby, all that kind of stuff. But you're then pushing off. You have to start your real life at some stage. Your real life, but you know what I mean. You have to start.
Yeah.
And, like, because I wasn't on the money that some of the top lads are on, you know. And so I finished up with rugby, and I'd done a master's in Smurfit at this stage. So I with the IRFU, they're very conscious that they don't want ex-players to just kind of, you know, just dwindle off. So I got a job doing pensions and investments and stuff like that. Yeah, man, like, it would have been great if that's what you were into, do you know what
I mean?
For me, it just wasn't for me. So I did that for about a year, like, and I did try, and I was, you know, like, I just kind of, I felt that, like, because of the school I went to, you know, everyone kind of graduates into a suit, do you know, that kind of way. Where, and I was like, this is just what you do, do you know, that kind of way. And I was like, I really, like, I wasn't loving it. And my old business partner, Al, one day I was over my house and he was like, here, come here. I'm training in this gym, because he'd been training with Pricey since he was in Sandyford. Like, I think he had a small gym in Sandyford, moved to Black Rock. He was like, come on out, we do this. And went out and I was like, whoa, this is class. And went out a few more times. And then Al had actually been a professional rugby player and then a professional poker player. And he was like, he was looking to get himself tucked into something. So he was like, I want to open a CrossFit gym. And he was like, would you be keen to try? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I actually just packed in my job because I really wasn't enjoying
it. Didn't like it.
And we just went, did our certs, did it, like learned up on what to do. We actually kind of did an apprenticeship with Pricey. And learned everything you needed to know. And then on the 1st of June 2013, we opened our own place over in Kimmage. And we, as opposed to, you know, like a lot of people open a gym with the idea of opening a gym, but we actually opened a business, and we kind of had a bit, like, now come here, we did loads of stuff wrong, but we still had a bit more of an idea because of what we learned with Pricey. And I suppose I didn't know I was going to get into coaching like that as a career. And it kind of evolved a bit from conversations and stuff like that. But like when I left school, I went straight into rugby coaching, you know, like I'd always coach rugby. So it was kind of the parallels between the two, like your coaching is coaching, you know what I mean? It just depends like what way, like what you're delivering. And I ended up, like, we set up a gym there, set up another one in Camden Street. I was in that for 7 years. It was class.
Wow. And how do you find the balance? So you do online coaching now.
Yeah.
And you coach the Irish women's rugby team.
Yeah.
How do you find, like, your clientele is pretty GPP, like general pop, isn't it? Online or?
Yeah, general pop. I would say it's weirdly enough, my client is kind of me. So since I've had a kid, my methods of coaching, like a lot of the principles have stayed the same, but a lot of my clients have kind of are new dads who would have been fit, would have played sports, and then like work, life, kid, all that kind of stuff creeps up in them, bit of a dad bod, and I suppose they're not looking to be on men's health, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they just want to be, they 40s coming up on the horizon. They want to be able to put their kid over their head, or when they go, like whatever, like if their kid is playing sport, they want to be able to be the coach. You know what I mean? They just want to feel like be a good role model. And it's weird. It's kind of just evolved into that. Like, and it's like, you know, I previously it would have been GPP and it would have been, oh yeah, I'll take everyone. Now I suppose I've kind of specialized a little bit more because I find I serve my clients better. You know, like I'd rather serve really well to a certain group than just serve averagely to everyone. You know that kind of way?
So how do you find that balance then of you're literally going from one end of the spectrum to the other, both in terms of performance level and gender? So you're with the women's Irish rugby team and then dad bods. So how do you go from this is who I'm coaching, this is who I'm coaching?
You see, with the women, it's... And not to, it's kind of like the gender. Do you know what I mean? But there's not that the gender isn't there, because it's just like it's coaching everything I've done anyway for the last bit. Like I'm coaching scrums, and for me, like yes, they're female. Their training age isn't as much as some say to men you might coach it with a similar age, but you're still just training. You're coaching scrums, so it's not really that different. You know what I mean? Like, and to be honest with you, man, they're like, it's actually it's a brilliant, like the environment is absolutely class because first of all, it's international rugby, which is class, but they're so, like the girls are so dedicated. They just want to learn. They just want to get better. And like, I've been in since November and man, I absolutely love it. Like I love it.
Savage. Happy days. Do you prefer one over to the other, or do you like having that contrast?
No, I love the contrast because I suppose my day, like my 9 to 5 essentially is online coaching. And I suppose there's quite a difference between online coaching and training someone, if you know what I mean. So it's really kind of diving into, trying to scratch the surface a bit more, dive in a bit deeper with people and actually figure out like what they actually want and why they want it. And it's trying to help guide them there. Like the thing is, and like, you know, like, I don't do everything for you. You have to want it yourself, you know, that kind of way. And so that's kind of your day to day. And then you go out to the night. The thing I love about the rugby at the moment is it's some kind of normality in the world, because, like, say I'm working at my kitchen table, you know, and I get to go out to the high performance center in Blanchardstown, and man, you want to see this place. Like, it's class, you know what I mean? And then get to train with a great group who are like, it's a really great balance for me at the moment. Like, I'm in a good place, you know?
Happy days. It's great to hear. I like what you were touching on there, because I was speaking to someone about this quite recently with your clients. It's like, it's coaching and you're scratching the surface to figure out what they really want, but there's still only so much that you and I can do as coaches. Like, they have to want it. What are some of the things that people are coming to you saying that they want? And then how are you breaking down the barrier to go, listen, you don't really want to do this, you want this? What are some of your methods for that? Or what are some of the things that people think they want?
Yeah, so I suppose, and it comes back to the classic, you know, give them what they want versus what they need. Do you know that kind of way? And it's like, you tell them you're giving them what they want, but actually you're giving them what they need. And I see it with some, like I say, like, a lot of my guys would have similar demographic, you know, and they come and their job, say, like, they'd be in a good job, they'd be doing well in life, and they, you know, but they don't kind of focus on themselves a little bit, and not in a selfish way, not anything like that, but you kind of have to say to them, like say, for example, I'd be like, James, like, your diary for work is bulletproof. You know exactly what you're doing from 8 a.m. till whatever. And it's like, okay, so that part of your life, you're really, really organized. So we need to take that level of organization and structure to your, to the rest of your life. And it's your food, it's your sleep, it's your water, it's your, like, you know, how long you look at your phone. It's like all those kind of things. I've got guys who have full-time minders in their house who prep their food for them, yet they're still struggling in organization with their food because some days they don't ask them, you know? And it's like, okay, look, again, and it's like, things can be so simple, but it's the simple things done effectively, done repeatedly, that is where they see success, you know? So, like, yeah, people come to you and they're like, oh yeah, you know, I want to lose 5 kilos. And it's like, great. That's kind of just, okay, well, why? And then you kind of, you find out a little bit about, okay, he wants to lose 5 kilos. And then you dive a bit deeper and it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm struggling to run around the garden after my kid, or I can't bend over to pick my kid up because my back is sore. And then you actually really figure out, you kind of get to know him. And I like to speak to someone for about an hour before I, like, to see, because he mightn't like me. Do you know what I mean? And he mightn't like the way I do things either. So I don't want him then, and he doesn't want me. So it's like, yeah, cool, go work with someone else, you know?
Savage, I love that. And what are some of the things then, whenever you are working with people and you figure it out, like, does how you program for them and the advice you give them change, or are you already trying to filter that sort of stuff into the conversations?
So I suppose from the first kind of lock and load call, or whatever you call it, like, you know, we'd have a really good idea of kind of where your man's at, because before we even jump on the call, we've probably spoke a few times over, like, Instagram or Facebook, you know, because he's probably like, the hardest thing for a bloke to do is to reach out, you know, the way lads are. It's like, oh, it's grand, I'll do it myself, I'll be grand, or I know what I'm doing. And it, like, the thing about, like, it, and it's different training the two sexes, because, like, females tend to buy quicker, whereas lads take longer to buy but stay longer. It's weird psychology with it, but it's, you know, by the time you've got on the call with the bloke, I already kind of have an idea about him, and then at the end of the call, I know kind of where I want him to go and what I want him to do. And, like, there's some blokes I take on and we won't even do a training session for the first 2 weeks, you know, because there'll be a lot of other stuff going on with them that they have to kind of, they have to get right. Because if you think about it, like, 3 hours of your week, you got to choose to exercise, do you know? Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, Rob wants me to do a workout, like, you know, like, you gotta choose to want to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And,
like, you gotta, like, some days you're gonna put yourself in that dark place, some days you're not. Some days you're just gonna do strength sessions, you're not gonna feel like you're beating up. And, like, there's gonna be loads of that, like, and but, like, that's, like, what I do, you help them with that. Yeah. But there's so many more things. Like, say if he's, like, he's on his phone until 2 a.m. watching Netflix in bed or something, or he's doing, you know, like, there's loads of stuff that needs to be sorted to build your foundation.
Yeah.
Before you kind of go diving in. Like, if someone's got a very bad training history, they're quite young, they haven't done a lot, you're not, like, you know what I mean? You want to kind of get them just moving, get them living, yeah, get their steps up, get them making conscious decisions with their food, things like that, you know?
So how do you help people implement that then? What are some of the things you're saying to them where, say I come to you, right, and I am on my phone till 2 a.m. I eat a McDonald's or takeaway or something more times a week than I should. And I've got all the worst habits in the world. I don't train. I smoke. I drink. Like, tick all the boxes. What's, like, what's the process look like? What are you doing with them?
And again, it's very individual. Like, so someone like that is going to be, like, so the way my coaching works is it's 90-day. It's kind of like, imagine if you started a new job in the bank, or you started a new job in Tesco, or wherever you start your new job.
Yeah.
The first month, 2 months, 3 months is going to be like, it's learning how everything works, learning the systems, learning how, you know, deliveries come in on this day, this goes here, that goes there. And then they go into kind of like a monthly rolling, because it's kind of intense in the beginning. And that's where, like, a lot of the learning is done.
Yeah.
And I find you need not, like, some people do 6 weeks, some people do 8 weeks, some people do 12 weeks. I like to kind of get to know people a little, like, so I like to do 12 weeks. And there's no right or wrong answer. You know, like, loads of different stuff works for loads of different people. This is just kind of, again, what, like, from doing coaching wrong loads, like, from being online coaching. Yeah, but, like, you know, like, I started online coaching 2016, after I finished the OPEC CCP course, and literally from chatting with James Fitzgerald, who is a genius, by the way. But then I started online coaching, and then, like, it's evolved and evolved and evolved. And I've worked with mentors, I've worked with business, like, management, like, consultants, all that kind of stuff to try and make my business better and to make my delivery better. And I suppose, like, that's why it's kind of turned into this. And it's that big 90-day block, that really intense block, into kind of, generally clients stay for about 18 months afterwards, you know?
Yeah, wow.
So you're looking at 18.
Yeah. So what are you saying to people, like, if they're not, you're not going to train them for 2 weeks, say, what's the number one priority? What are you getting, what boxes need ticked before you start doing that with them?
So big things I want to see are, and with food, I don't like to, like, everyone comes and they're like, I need a meal plan. It's like, you don't need a meal plan. Like, and the thing is, things that I like, you know, you might like things that I like, you know, someone else. So, like, one size doesn't fit all. So I like to kind of, self-discovery is such a kind of waffly word, but it's self-discovery for them, you know, like, so yeah. I want them to, we'll talk about it. We lay out, like, low hanging fruit for week one. It's like, okay, James, you're going to do one walk in the morning before work, 20 minutes. Just get out the door. Now, it depends, you know, 3 kids, 2 kids, whatever. It can be crazy in the morning. Okay, if that's the case, then we move that walk to lunchtime, you know? And we're going to do another little walk in the evening, and we're going to just, all I want you to do is just write down what you eat.
Yeah.
And it's straight away, like, you're getting text messages, and you're getting, like, in whatever way you communicate with your people, like, you get messages being like, geez, I didn't know this is how much I was eating. I didn't know, like, and it's, I said no to that Snickers after lunch because I knew I'd have to write it down for you. Geez, I lost 4 pounds in the first week. And you're like, okay, great. That's really, really good. Now we cemented that in, and we layer another layer on top. We cement that in, and you just kind of, you give them little targets. Like, the big thing for me is it's been not making them feel like crap because they're in a bad situation. It's to try and be like, right, okay, how am I going to bridge the gap from where you are now to where you want to be?
Nice. And just layering the steps in there and showing them the steady progress that they can make.
Small,
yeah.
consistent steps, man, because it's really easy to be like, okay, James, here's four sessions this week. You're going to have 1,800 calories. You're going to do 160 grams of protein. You're going to, and you're like, well, hang on. Like, I used to have Pop-Tarts for breakfast, and then you're getting me to do like four bacon and two eggs. Like, you know, like, yeah. It's overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and again, if these guys, like, you know, sleep might be an issue because they've got three kids and the baby's waking up and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, okay, so let's not add more stress. Do you know, like, it's 100%. A bit of stressing, decluttering, and helping them get from A to B.
Yeah, that's a big thing that I've spoke to my clients about this past week. I had a lot of people last week who missed more sessions than they normally would, or missed a session when they normally wouldn't, or they didn't get their steps in, or this, or this, or this. And so I messaged seven or eight people being like, do you want me to take a session away next week? Like, if work's really busy, or this, or this, or this. And they're going, what do you mean? I'm like, well, like, if you're busy, let's train three times instead of four, four times instead of five, like, whatever the thing is. And people are real taken aback, being like, oh, I thought you were going to say this week I had to do extra cardio, or I had to drop my calories because I overate. And I'm going, no.
A real nice one is, you'll see someone and they'll be like, oh, I train 5 days a week and I do this. And it's like, okay, cool, perfect. We're going to start with 3 days, but you're going to prescribe a food prep day, because nice. Instead of taking that 1 hour to train, you're going to go, okay, James, you're going to go to the kitchen for an hour, and you're going to just chop up a lot of veg, and you're going to just make, like, I don't love the idea of eating out of a lunchbox for the rest of your life. But again, for that front loaded period and for that learning period at the start,
it can get the ball going.
Yeah, like, they're like, if someone really has to lose weight, like, if they are quite overweight, then yes, they have to drop. So you have to look at food, and you have to really kind of drive that a bit, but you have to educate them as well, because you want them not to need you at the end.
Yes.
You know?
Which is a real funny thing. I say this to people. I'm like, listen, I don't want to still be working with you in 2 years unless we just get on so well that you want to work together. But if you're still like, James, what should I do for this after a year or 18 months, then I've fucked up massively somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And something needs to change in that. And sometimes people are actually taken aback by that. And I'm like, well, no, surely this should be the case. Like, you should only just, you need the education, and then you should just be able to go, yeah, do you know what? You're sound, it's working. I don't trust myself, so we're just going to keep this level of accountability and friendship.
And that person, like, you want them to stay because they want the accountability. They love what you're prescribing. They love that, you know, your weekly mastermind, or whatever way you come, whatever you do, they love being involved in that. They love the community aspect that you've done. That's what you want them. That's where you want them to get to. And
yeah.
Then those people saying, yeah, absolutely, they stay and they love you and they work with you and you're happy to work with them, you know. But it's like, again, it's so, like, that front loaded piece is where it's at, you know.
Yeah. So let's kind of pivot here a little bit. I kind of want to get into you a little bit more and your training and that sort of stuff. And, like, you're still big into the rugby. Six Nations are about to start. You're training at home. You're going through all the same struggles as your clients at the minute. It's like, how do you find that balance of enjoying your food, enjoying a beer, watching the rugby, and still being happy and content with your physique and your body shape and that?
So for me, the one thing I always say to my clients is, I'm never going to ask them to do something I won't do.
Yeah, I'm big on that.
So I'm like, I'm not going to be like, okay, James, you only eat chicken and broccoli out of a lunchbox 5 days a week, because I'm not going to do that. Do you know? Yeah. Like, it doesn't, that's not real life. Like, I know, like, and this is a great thing for me, is since working with the guys that I work with, I know all the struggles they go through because it's what I go through. And for me, working out is, I like it. It's an hour on your own with your phone, like, no phone, no one annoying you. And it's good because my missus is big into training, and, like, she does loads of CrossFit. So I actually get her to program one day a week for me, just to kind of,
nice.
Yeah, it's good. But, you know, like I try and go to my garden because no matter, like, whatever the weather, I try and get out there as much as I can because it's fresh air, you're outside, and you just kind of, like, you zone out. Now, look, I've one dumbbell. I bought one of those slam balls in Aldi and a kettlebell, you know, like, it's not loads of gear, but it's perfect. And it's the nice thing is knowing you're going through a lot of the same stuff that your clients are going through, because I actually have two clients who have pretty much full gyms. Yeah, man, class setups, like, you want to see that. But otherwise, everyone's pretty much going through the same stuff. And that's like, it's a nice feeling as well, you know, because we're all kind of doing the same. So how I balance it is, like, I will, if I know, say, for example, we always try and do like one nice meal, like a takeaway or something, like a week, because just break up your week, make your week feel a bit different. If I know on a Saturday we're going to get a lab pizza or whatever the case may be, I might just have maybe a protein shake for breakfast, keep lunch nice and lean, and then I'd be happy having that for the evening, you know, that kind of way. I try, like, when I finished my rugby, I was 135 kilos, I'm about 110 now. Yeah, so, like, I'm 25 kilos down, I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm not, like, everyone could probably tidy up a kilo or two, you know what I mean? Like, maybe. But I, like, if the pubs reopened, I'd go and drink 10 pints of Guinness tomorrow.
Yeah. And how do you find the, you're working from home, you have a kid, you have a dog, you have a wife. What are your daily, weekly non-negotiables to keep you physically, mentally happy? Like, what's a day, what's a week look like?
Weirdly enough, I love it. Like, I think working from home, it's challenging, but we're having a great time. So my non-negotiables are every day, I get up, do whatever for about an hour, maybe have a coffee, then I go upstairs, get Teddy up, and because my missus starts at 7:30 for work, so Teddy gets up about 7. Well, he'd sleep until 8, which is the dream. But I wake him up, we go in and we sit, and I sit in bed and we read books, have his bottle. Then Katie obviously goes to work or whatever, but myself and Teddy kind of chill, reading books, talking, whatever.
Nice.
Man, I do that. That's every day, no matter what. And then I drop him to crash, come home, and I start work. Then I try and drive as much work as I can between 9 and 4:30. Then 4:30 every day we walk over, like, it's kind of like myself and Katie go together, walk over to pick up Teddy from creche, come home, dinner, bath, bottle, bed. Then, like, then I generally do from about maybe 7:30 to 8:30, just kind of wrap up my day, like any red flags with clients, any new clients getting on, like any people messaging on Instagram, things like that. And that's pretty much how my Monday to Thursday looks. Friday, I always think that Teddy wants a bit of an early day from creche, so I try and pick him up a little bit early on Friday. I try and get a lot done. But now that the Six Nations has been announced for the females, and we're hoping that World Cup qualifiers, I'll be coaching on Friday evenings, generally coaching on Tuesday evenings as well. And now there'll be weekend camps. So this weekend I've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Blanchardstown. But my morning will stay the same. I'll still make sure that every morning I get up and I'm with Teddy and we read books in bed and we spend time together. And I like to try and make sure that I put them down every day. It's kind of pretty much my non-negotiables involved around him, really.
Savage. But this is something that I try and translate over to my clients. It's like training and fitness isn't the number one priority. It should definitely be like a top five, getting it in. But if you can only do it twice a week, that's better than not doing it. And it's better on the other side of that. It's also better than sacrificing time with your kids or partner and job to prioritize the training to do 6 sessions instead of 4. It's like, what do you need to do 6 sessions for? Like, what are you doing in those other ones that you aren't getting enough stimulus? Like, I haven't done more than last week. I trained 5 times actually, which is the most I've trained, I'd say, since the first lockdown, I probably averaged, in the past year, I probably averaged 3 or 4 days a week. And I'm...
Yeah, perfect.
Exactly. What is... And I don't have... And I don't have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning at the minute anymore. Like,
yeah.
I have more free time, technically, than I've had since I was in college, which is a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still training less, but I'm looking better, feeling better. I'm healthier. I have zero knee pain at the minute because I'm not like trying to snatch and clean and deadlift and run and all these other things. It's like...
It's definitely like, and that, so even with my own training, I try and do like that 3 to 4 days a week, depending on like, and depending on if I'm coaching in Blanchestown at the weekend, I try and do one session at the weekend. This weekend I won't. But again, I choose to do it because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I make it fit in. It's not like previously, and I did kind of fall out of love with it a bit, like where, you know, if you were looking at a CrossFit class and said it was like Toast Bar or something, and you're like, why am I doing that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'd actually be better off just doing some plank. So, and that
you know, had 100, you had 110 kilos swinging around the bar, man. What the
hell? Especially with a bad neck, I'd retire with my neck and all. Like, so, I keep, like, I obviously have a bias towards trying to lift heavier things slower. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's me. I was a prop. Yeah. That is kind of where I lived. But that's why I, like, KDO is kind of does one day a week where I really get out of my comfort zone. And I try and mix in like a longer kind of like, you know, a 40 minute EMO on one of the days maybe, or like, you know, a couple of short sprints and then a couple of strength sessions. And I have a bike upstairs. So I just kind of all mash it around. And like, I kind of look at my week, my training over 2 weeks to try and get all that in over 2 weeks.
Nice.
You know what I mean? As opposed to being like, I need to do all this week and then feeling like, oh, you know what I mean? Not worth it.
So basically what you're saying is you do the things that you enjoy doing, and every now and again, because you know it's important, you do things you don't enjoy but you know there's benefit to them.
Exactly. Yeah, like I get out of, like, say 2/3 of my training is strength-based training, you know,
because you love it.
Yeah, because, and that's my wheelhouse, that's what I've been doing for a long time. But then I will, like the other day I did 30k on the bike just to get on it and just do it. Remember, yeah, it was horrific. I didn't like that at all. Like, but I don't like running, so I get on the bike instead, you know? And then the other day, 20K. And it's just like, things like that, where you just get inside your own headspace with something you don't like. You know what I mean? It's good. And then even yesterday, I did like some AMRAP repeats. And, you know, you're blowing up, resting, blowing up, resting, blowing up, resting. And there's like, you have to raise the heart rate. Do you know what I mean? You have to do that. And it's, you don't have to smash yourself every session. Like, I wouldn't do that 5 days in a row. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I'll do it. And I probably won't do something like that for about another 7 to 10 days, you know?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I posted on Instagram last night. Well, this will be going out in like a month's time. But a month ago, I posted on Instagram, one of my clients put in this true coach. He's a photographer and a videographer, so he's still doing like bits and pieces under the radar. And he was just like, man, I did the strength piece, I'm bollocksed, I'm not doing the workout tonight. And I was like, yeah, perfect. Bro, that is like, exactly. You know you need to do something, because in the past few weeks you haven't been doing a lot. But you also know that if you do that tonight, you're going to be wrecked for the end of the week and incapable of doing anything. Whereas some people have that mentality of, I need to not only break a sweat, but break myself into that dark place, almost in tears every day.
Yeah. And that's actually something I stopped doing on True Coach. Was I used to check in. I used to do my check-ins. I used to do food diaries. I used to do workouts. And clients were getting like 3 emails a day, you know, bang, bang, bang. So I actually massively reduced that back, and I've totally revamped the way I check in. And it's working really better, because like, so blokes were like, man, like I dread seeing that email come in, because I'm like, you know, like it's, oh no, it's a, and so I've totally reduced that back a bit. And it's, again, it's just like, and it's learning as you go, you know, like it's like anything in life. You're just trying to get better at your job. And I found that's made a big difference.
Yeah. Something I kind of wanted to talk to you about, and I don't really know why I thought of you with this, but we're just into the new year. Well, we're a month into it now. What, you've been in the fitness industry a long time. You've seen trends come and go and things that are ridiculous and things that people thought wouldn't work, like CrossFit, but they have, and all this, that, and the other. What trends have you seen that you like in recent times? And what trends have you kind of heard about that are due to come up now in the coming year or two that you think this is absolute nonsense, or are there any?
Wow. To be honest with you, upcoming trends, I haven't, like, there's, you know, like, you go to America, Australia, you kind of, this is where you find out about these things. Weirdly enough, I suppose I kind of not cocoon myself, but I don't really search those kind of things, like, or what the next big thing is, you know, because again, it can lead to overwhelm within yourself of being like, oh no, am I not doing the right thing? When, you know, like at the end of the day, squat, hinge, push, pull, isometric, raise your heart rate, long, short, that's pretty much, do you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, that is essentially what every training, like F45, CrossFit, all those things are based on that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it just, it's different variables of what way they're packaged and marketed to make look, you know, oh my God, look, this is what we do at F45. This is what we do at CrossFit. This is what we do in our bodybuilding gym. This is what we do. It's like, okay, yeah, but what is the common denominator? Everyone's squatting, hinging, pushing, pulling, do you know? And so if, like, you see loads of people and it, you see people go and they're like, oh yeah, I was doing this and then I was doing this and now I do this. And it's like, class. Like, and that's real Americanized insofar as people bounce. And you probably see it in 10 a lot, where people will go between like the lads in Heaton's Boxing Academy, then they're over to you, or they might be over to Berkey and 353 or something. And it's like, yeah, cool. Do whatever you want. You know what I mean? The big thing is just encouraging people to always be doing something. Do you know what I mean? Like, just keep tipping away at something. If they just enjoy it, do it. You know, and like, yeah, there's certain things that are a bit fatty. Again, if, like, say for example, me and you wanted to go and do like a whatever, like the latest fad is, but we're mates and we enjoy it, we have a coffee afterwards, there's probably more benefit in that. Do you know what I mean? Even if it is a fad, whatever it is we're doing, like, you know, so, you know, new year, different things coming in. It's funny with people at the moment, like walking and running is massive, you know? And yeah, it's class, but like, it's deadly. Like, you go out in the roads, you see loads of people walking, loads of people out with their kids, loads of people doing those things. So it's great to see. I think the big thing for me is with people, and when they come to you and talk to you, is again, it's not belittling them for trying a fad, you know, because everyone's good. Like, everyone falls for market. Like, the reason marketing works is because that's how things happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not belittling them for trying whatever they tried. Deadly. They tried it. Cool. That's, come here. Let's talk about that. Okay. What did you like? What did you not like? This is how this works. And we kind of go from there, you know?
Yeah. Savage. I think that's absolutely spot on, man. Well, I have a few clients who, and a few former clients who, PTs, who would do one or two PTs a week with me. Mm-hmm. One or two, either they had memberships at F45 and they went to the studio here and they chop and change and they go over to the lads at the Heaton Boxing Academy. And that would be they'd either do one of each a week or they do two of one and one of the other. And they do between 3 and 5 a week. And they were like, is this the right thing to do? And I'm going, are you happy?
Yeah.
Well, then, yes. Like, okay, maybe if you're a bloke and you're trying to get dead muscly, doing all that conditioning probably isn't the optimal way to do it. But if you can do that over the next 5 years and you're getting a bit of hypertrophy training in there as well, then in 5 years' time, you're going to look deadly.
Yeah. And it comes back to, people start something because they think they like what they want. They're like, oh, you know, but then it's like, that's exactly what you just said there. You give them what, like, you have to give them what they need. And if it's just, it comes down to the relationship with the person and what they want. Like, if they really enjoy it and they're going to stick to it, then stay at it, because they're going to have fun. They're going to make mates. They're going to, like, if you think, even when you see in the gym the whole time, like the people who you train, you know, they come in for, because they want to lose weight, but the clients who end up staying are people who make mates. They become, like, they socialize it within the gym, and they kind of, they find that group, and they're like, that's, they find the enjoyment out of it. Like, it's, they love, oh yeah, Daddy, I'm in work, I'm going to get into Perpetua after work class, I'm going to go to Navitas, I'm going to go 353, I'm going to go wherever. Like, that's their buzz, their little clique is there, their crew is there. Have at it, man. Go for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's finding wherever that thing is for you. Like, a few people, I spoke to a few people, not recently, like, whenever the gyms were open, and they were like, oh, I don't know about this CrossFit, like, should I try it? And I always say, listen, CrossFit's for anyone, not necessarily for everyone.
Yeah.
And that applies to most sports. Like, anyone can go and play rugby. Not everyone's going to fucking like it. If you don't like touching people, getting hit is not for you. If you don't like running a lot, football isn't going to be for you. If you don't like lifting heavy weights, at least some of the time, CrossFit also probably isn't going to be for you. But find where you can meet people who have similar values to you and enjoy, whenever you are having a coffee or a pint and you talk about the same nonsense. And that's where it's really, really the most important for people, what I find. Not the training methodology that you think you should be doing.
But should it, like, when it comes down to the training method, like, it realistically is the program, the most successful program is generally the simplest one and the one that you follow, you know, like, so for people who want to see, like, again, it comes down to if someone comes to you and their very, very ultimate goal is they want to get a pull up, well then, you know, bouncing between a lot of classes and a lot of different gyms probably isn't a great idea, and you want to talk to them about that. But if they just want to have a buzz, come on, go for it. And you, like, and that probably comes down to age demographic as well. So, you know,
100%. Yeah. Shot, deadly, man. That was lovely. Where can the people find you on the interwebs if there's any dad bods watching and they want a bit of help?
Leverage Fitness is my Instagram handle. I am currently building a website at the moment, which
that's what are you using for that? Are you doing it yourself?
I have a client who is in Squarespace. I'm using Squarespace. I had one going and I was like, it just wasn't really anyway, long story. I'm tech and me. I'm like Steve Jobs. But Instagram is the best place to get me. Leverage Fitness. And yeah, happy to help. Like, just honestly, just message me, reach out. I'll get back to you. Even like, I love answering questions about things. Like, it's my day.
I know. Yeah. I love when people I don't really know just message me and go, what do you think I should do about this? And I give them a real wishy-washy answer and be like, listen, I don't know you. It depends. However, here are a couple of options. I love doing that. I think it's magic.
Yeah. Deadly. Brilliant. James.
Stuff. Thanks a million, man. Guys, as always, if you enjoyed this, please like, share, whatever it is on the platform you're listening to. Tell a friend. Reach out to myself, Chops, Perpetua. And yeah, we are all happy to help. Thanks again.